Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you come with me to Luke chapter 1? In Luke chapter 1, you'll find a very important teaching from God's heart about being His voice. It may also assist you to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Elizabeth, Be God's Voice. I heard kind of a humorous and instructive story about these three guys who were hiking in the wilderness. They were hiking along and they came to this huge, raging, rushing river. And they had to get past it, and they prayed. The first guy said, oh God, would you give me the strength to cross this river? And poof, God gave him huge arms. He looked like Popeye. And he jumped in that water, and he just started swimming. And after 2 hours, he made it to the other side. The other guy prayed. He said, oh God, help me get across this river. Would you give me the strength? And then give me the tools to do it. Poof, he had huge arms and a boat. And he jumped in that boat, and he started rowing and struggling, and finally, after about 30 minutes, he made it to the other side of the river. The third guy, he said, oh God, would you give me the strength, the tools, and the wisdom to get across this river? And poof, God made him a woman. He looked at a map. He hiked a few minutes upstream, and he crossed the river on a bridge. Well, the point is, there are a lot of wise women in the Bible. We looked at Esther a few weeks ago. Today, we have front and center Elizabeth, this mighty woman of God who was so wise. Next week, come back, we'll focus on Mary, the mother of Jesus. But it's amazing how the gospel elevates women. And as we come today to this very important lesson on how to be God's hero, we're learning how God wants us to be like Elizabeth and to be His voice. I've got to confess, when I look at this passage, I think of The Sound of Music. Do you remember that classic moment in The Sound of Music where Julie Andrews is Maria and she's so overflowing with joy, she's just out there dancing and twirling in the meadow and singing? Well, that's the picture that I see when I think of Elizabeth's meeting with Mary. But let me ask you this, so that this message will have meaning to you personally. Today, right now, analyze your heart. Do a quick checkup from the neck up and just check your attitude. Right now, are you full or flat? Are you full or flat? Are you full of God's Spirit? Are you energized by His presence? Are you just flat? Some of you would say, yeah, Jay, I'm just as full as a helium balloon and a spring wind. And others of you would admit, I am as flat as a little rat snake, just crawling along in the dust. Everything seems wrong. Nothing's positive. Nothing's bright or right. I'm just flat. Well, there's a better way, and I want to share it with you today. It's God's way. It's God's way of being filled with His Spirit. And let's look now at this encounter that we see between Mary and this mighty woman of God, Elizabeth. Let's pick it up in Luke 1, in Luke 1, verse 39. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. It came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice, and she said, Mary, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby who is John the Baptist, the greatest man, Jesus said, ever born of a woman, it's John the Baptist, is leaping in the womb for joy. Verse 45, and blessed are you, Mary, because you believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to you by the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, We come humbly and intentionally into your presence, and we ask that you would help us remove each and every distraction so that we could focus fully upon you and hear your living, transforming truth, your word that ignites faith in our spirit, gives us vision, perseverance, peace, and power. Oh, Father, get me out of the way that your spirit would take your truth that transforms and deposit it into every receptive heart. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, here you see quite a picture in Luke 1 of Elizabeth becoming the voice of God. Now, friends, always remember this. Always remember this. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Your words, he said, reveal your heart. Your words reveal your heart. And if you speak words of hostility and vulgarity and negativity, it means that you've got a poisoned spirit. There's poison, there's toxins in your spirit. But if you speak words of truth and love, encouragement and edification, it means that God has been at work in your spirit, transforming your spirit into the spirit of Jesus. So what do you see today in Elizabeth? You see her speaking the word of God to a young woman who's probably scared and looking for confirmation, a young lady named Mary. Now, I want you to step back in time 2,000 years and imagine the moment of that meeting. You see, Mary has already heard from God, the messenger Gabriel, that she has been chosen to bear the Messiah, the Savior of all humanity. What a glorious yet difficult assignment. What a blessing, but what a burden. I mean, she's laying it all on the line. This girl's not married. She's probably just a teenager. She's expecting a baby. It looks like she's broken her marriage contract with Joseph. So this is a tough time. So she decides to take a road trip and go over to see her older mentor, cousin Elizabeth. Maybe it was like that. And when they see each other, there's this jumping for joy moment. There's this electric enthusiasm where God's Spirit knits them together. Well, as this happens, here's what I want you to do. I have studied this passage deeply, and there are four things that I have gleaned from this amazingly important passage of Scripture regarding being God's voice to the world around us. And I want you to dial into it, because if you'll learn this lesson, it could make an enormous difference in the way the rest of your life unfolds, because you are called, I am called to be God's voice. Let's begin here. Like Elizabeth, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 41. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout Luke and then his companion book, Acts, we learn a lot about how God works through his Holy Spirit. And I've taught you on countless occasions that we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. We learn that in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached at Pentecost. After he preached, the people cried out, "What do we do?" And he says in Acts 2:38, "Repent, turn from your sin, turn to your Savior, be baptized, and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, that's just the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. All of those phrases are used interchangeably within the Bible. So you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, when you turn from your sin and you call upon Him to be your Savior. Now, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is God's seal of your life. It means that you are His child, and He brings with Him presents and gifts. When you're born again, you get a birthday present. You get a gift of the Spirit, this special endowment that will help you build the kingdom of God and work for the Lord. And then He begins to produce on the limbs of your life as He transforms your character. He will produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, you know a tree, Jesus said, by its fruit. If you tell me that's a peach tree, I want to see some peaches on it, not little shriveled up, sour persimmons. You see, that's what God expects of you. He wants you to produce that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That means you are rooted in Him and you're producing the fruit of His Spirit. That's what it means to be a Spirit-filled person. Now, look on your worksheet and glean another analogy from God's Word. It says in Ephesians 5, do not be drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Now, this is very interesting. We're comparing being filled with the Spirit to being filled with alcohol. Now, when you're filled with alcohol, when you're drunk, it affects how you talk, how you walk, how you think, how you react, your relationships, and I can guarantee you it'll put you in a bad spot. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll put you in a good spot because it also affects how you walk, how you talk, how you think, how you relate to others. It'll put you in a really good spot. So here's what I would have you understand. God wants you to be controlled not by negative forces that will hurt you, but by His Spirit that will ultimately help you. That's the goal. It's control. And you surrender yourself to His control. That's what it means to be filled with His Spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Could you get drunk if all you did is every Sunday took a little bit of wine? Nope. It wouldn't make you drunk. Could you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God if just once a week, maybe on Sunday, you just take a little gulp of His Spirit? That's it. No, that's not going to control you, is it? You see, the goal of God is for you to feast upon Him, maybe to get drunk upon Him. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to be so full of Him that it affects everything that you do, everything that you become. This is God's goal. Do not be drunk on wine, but instead be full to overflowing with God's Spirit. Let me create another metaphor that's helped me over the years. Now, this is a little work glove, and you can tell it hadn't seen much work. It's not dirty. It hadn't been around. I bought it new for you in this purpose, in this moment. All right, now this work glove is just nothing by itself. It's just a little piece of cotton and a little vinyl. And it looks okay, but it's nothing. It can't do anything by itself. But until it is filled, when it is inhabited, that glove can do some stuff now. It can pull a weed. It can go to work. It can run a chainsaw. It can dig a hole. It can go to work. Can't do a thing by itself, can it? But when you fill it up, and that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take the little nothingness of my life and your life and fill it with His amazing power, His presence, His peace, His purpose, and then unleash you on the world. That is what God wants. He wants you to be like that glove. And He wants you to say, oh, Lord, fill me. I'm nothing. You are everything. Fill me and use me. That's what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. Well, here's something else I want to show you. You see, like Elizabeth, we should be number two, filled with joy and enthusiasm. So fascinating here in verse 42, the scripture says she cried out with a loud voice. I mean, this lady was excited when she saw Mary because she had this divine revelation that Mary would bear the Son of God. Oh, what a moment here. And so her heart is filled to overflowing with joy and enthusiasm. She's speaking loudly, and then she virtually sings this song to Mary, and Mary responds back almost like a duet. But it's this moment of great joy. Now, always remember, the Bible differentiates joy from happiness. The word happiness is built on the base word happen. In other words, we're happy when good things happen. We're happy if we get a promotion at work. We're happy if somebody gives us a nice birthday present. We're happy if our team wins. We are happy if everything happens good to us. Happiness is very different from joy. Joy is not based on happenings. It's based on our relationship. That's why Jesus invites us to abide in Him, and we will experience the joy of that living relationship that changes everything. You see, joy is not based on our circumstances, it's based on our relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants you to have a joy that senses God is in control, He loves you, He's holding you in the palm of His nail-scarred hand, and He's going to take care of you. He's got it for you. That's what joy is based on. Now, it's interesting, I've been to England a number of times. I've gone to Buckingham Palace, and there's an English tradition that indicates whether or not royalty is in residence at Buckingham Palace by a flag that flies over that great castle. There is a royal flag, and if one of the royals would be there, then they fly a special flag that says, the king is in residence. The queen is in residence. Royalty is residing here. Do you know the parallel to that in your own life? Is when you are flying the flag of joy, it means that King Jesus is reigning in your life. When you fly that flag of joyous, positive enthusiasm, it says that Jesus is in control of you, not your fleeting emotions, not what's happening on the outside. You're a person of joy who relates to other people with enthusiasm. You see, joy is on the inside, enthusiasm is on the outside. That's how you relate to people. So let me ask you this. Do you relate to people with enthusiasm? Are you positive? Are you affirming? Or instead do all the opposites prevail and flow and pour out of your life? Negativity, sour spirit, cynicism, no enthusiasm. Oh, my friends, there's the better way. Did you know that the word enthusiasm is a compound word in theos? It just means in God. Enthusiasm literally means in God. And if you are in God, if Christ is dwelling in the center of your soul, you've got to relate to other people in a positive, encouraging, enthusiastic way. Well, this is what we see. Elizabeth was not only filled with the Holy Spirit, she was filled with joy and enthusiasm. And then number three, she was filled with spiritual insight. It's fascinating here in verse 42, she cried out with a loud voice and she said, Mary, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then she calls that fruit the Lord. The word Lord means the boss, the one in control. It's what you called Caesar. It was the name of Adonai, the God Most High. Now, she didn't have a sonogram. She didn't have access to fancy tools to even see the young girl was pregnant. But something in her spirit gave her a spiritual insight that said, this young woman is going to bear the King of Kings. And that's what happens when you're filled up with God's Spirit. You have unique spiritual insights. This is interesting to me. It says in Acts chapter 4, look on your worksheet in verse 13. It's about Peter and John. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, let me reset the context of that moment. In Acts chapter 3, you see, after the Holy Spirit had filled the disciples, 3,000 had been converted. Peter and John kept preaching the word in Jerusalem. They ran into a man who was lame. Do you remember the story? They came up to him and he was asking for some alms. And they said, silver and gold, we don't have any of that. But what we have, we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus, arise. They grab him by the hand and this guy who's been lame, he jumps up and starts leaping and praising God. What a moment. The guy goes from lame to leaping. Well, Peter and John are arrested over it because they're proclaiming the name of Jesus. They come before all of the officials, the people who had killed Jesus, and they accuse them of preaching in the name of Jesus. And they stand and they give these insights that are so powerful, so overwhelming. They declare that there's salvation in none other but the name of Jesus, that these officials are overwhelmed, and they even make the pronouncement. They were astonished, and all they could add it up to was these people had been walking with Jesus. They were just full of Jesus. Is that what people say of you? What are you full of? Oh, you ought to be full of Jesus. When people encounter you, they should see and hear spiritual insight flowing from the fountain of your words that would indicate you have been with Jesus. You're controlled by Him. You are filled with Him. That is the goal of God. Now, I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me. I've surrendered my life to the Lord. I'll wake up in the morning saying, Lord, you're in control. I put myself as a living sacrifice on your altar. I want you to fill me up. I leak. I need your help. And it is amazing how many times God will give me spiritual insights for myself or people that I've never thought of before. Kind of like Elizabeth saw in the natural Mary, this unmarried young pregnant woman. And she did not see shame, but in the supernatural, she saw fame because she's going to deliver the child of God. So I ask that God would anoint my eyes so that I don't just see the natural, but I see in the supernatural. I fix my eyes on Jesus. And I cannot tell you how many times I have been preaching, and God will just invade my thinking with a thought like I've never had before. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit giving me a spiritual insight that's brand new because I'm surrendered to Him. I'll be talking to somebody. I was talking to somebody this week, and their life was really in a mess of tangled knots. And it was as if the Lord let me see all the way down like an x-ray to the bone of that situation. And I gave them a word that I'd never thought of before. You see, what was that? That's God giving a spiritual insight. So you see beyond the natural into the supernatural, and once you see it, you got to share it. That's what Elizabeth did. She saw Mary not just as an unwed teenage mom. She saw her as the one who would bear King Jesus, the Savior of humanity. And she made a declaration of it. Oh, my friends, I urge you to live in that mode where you are filled with the Spirit and see beyond the natural to the supernatural and then make declarations of these spiritual insights. Let me show you one last powerful truth. You see, like Elizabeth, we should be filled with encouragement. Look at verse 45. And blessed are you, Mary, because you've believed that you would see the fulfillment of what was promised to you by God. You're going to birth the Messiah. She encouraged her. Now, don't you know that young Mary needed encouragement? I would imagine that she was a little intimidated by her assignment. Her assignment was to bear the Messiah of the world. Her assignment was to take on this burden as a young teenager who wasn't married, who didn't have a lot of family support. Can you imagine the burden, the fear she felt? And so she went to her mentor, Elizabeth, and what did Elizabeth do? Did she say, man, oh girl, you are in for a rough road. You are in trouble. What have you done now? Did she say that? Oh no, she said, I see it. I see that God has called you, and she began to pour God's encouragement all over her. That's why it says she stayed not 1 month, not 2 months. How long? 3 months. Don't you like to be around people who will pick you up instead of put you down? Don't you like to be around people who push you toward the Lord instead of push you away from Him? Well, of course you do. You know, that's why some people, you stay around 3 minutes instead of 3 days. She stayed with her 3 months because she was hungry for the miracle grow of the soul, which is encouragement. Now, I want you to pull this point away, parents. I want you to understand, parents, your children are starving for your affirmation and for your encouragement. So I want you to pour on your children godly encouragement. Are you married? Has God given you the privilege of being married? Don't you know that your mate needs godly affirmation and encouragement instead of criticism and fault finding? You see, if you have the special gift of criticism and fault finding, why don't you ask God to give you a new gift? That would be a great idea. Your mate would be really glad. You see, if you're always pointing out what's wrong with your mate, just remember this. It was because of those shortcomings that they married you and not somebody superior. So I would just urge you to be careful with criticizing and fault finding when it comes to your mate. You be careful. Your call not to put them down, but to pull them up and invite them to walk like Jesus in the presence of God, doing the word and will of God. You see, God has given us this awesome power to speak words of faith that will activate a person's potential. It will give them a vision of who they can be and fulfilling their Christ-designed destiny. You have that ability as you speak these affirming words of encouragement. So be a good steward of them like Elizabeth was. I heard this fabulous story recently about a young college student. He graduated from Fordham University in New York, and in 1977, he didn't know what to do. He came home, and his dad was a pastor, and his mother ran a beauty shop. Well, he was working that summer just around the beauty shop cleaning up when he encountered a woman named Ruth Green. And Ruth Green saw this young man, and she spoke a word of blessing and encouragement to him and wrote it out. She said, "The Spirit of God is upon you, and He has anointed you. He has made you able, and you will do great things for the Lord, and you will stand before and impact millions." She wrote that down. He put it in his wallet. And Denzel Washington says, from that moment forward, he was never the same. Denzel Washington has won 2 Academy Awards. He has made scores of movies, and he is an ardent follower of Jesus Christ. And he said the turning point in his life was Ruth Green in his mother's beauty shop giving him a word of encouragement that began to activate his faith and fuel his future. Do you know you have that same power to do so? So let me ask you a last question. Here's the last question. Will you, like Elizabeth, will you be His voice? Filled with His Spirit, filled with joy and enthusiasm, filled with spiritual insight that you see and then share, and filled with those encouraging words that activate a person's faith and change their spiritual destiny. Well, let's pray. Father,
thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.